30. The Divine Risk. Here is the crux of attempting to grasp the enormity of what Jesus did. All real wills can go in either direction. They don't have to make the right choice. There is no coercion. That is the definition of free will. It is truly free to choose. If Jesus hadn't had free will, he would have been an angel. But by virtue of his manhood, he did possess free will. He didn't simply grow up and switch on the divine part of his nature. He had to choose sonship. The implication of this choosing is enormous. It means that when Jesus came to earth, his decisions could have gone either way. Salvation wasn't a done deal until the final moment when he breathed his last and gave up his mortality, ready to return again to the place of his origin at the Father's side. In other words, for 33 years, in a sense, the fate of the world's salvation hung in the balance. Think what an astounding thing it would have been had Jesus failed. Does the question almost ring with blasphemy in your ears? Was such impossible? I do not think so. Otherwise, he would have been an angel. But he was a man with a fully operational and human free will. By definition, this means that all the way to the end, his will was alive. He could have ended his garden prayer with, "Forget it. I can't do this anymore." God does not play games. When we are told that Jesus was tempted, that means he was tempted, really and truly tempted. His mortal human will was taken to the limit and tempted. It was no fake or shallow temptation, but the real thing. What an incredible thing that God placed free will in the very center of creation. In free will, we see God's great risk and his willingness to take such a risk. A huge risk, the ultimate risk. The first Adam was also God's son, a perfect being. But somehow God thought the risk worth it to give Adam self-will, knowing that it could be fatal. And as it turned out, it was fatal. The first Adam gave in to the temptation. He chose self-will and independence, rather than obedience. His fall introduced sin into the world of man. With the failure of Eden so catastrophic, therefore, one might think God would send an angel, even a troop of angels, to redeem the world from this sin, just to make sure nothing could go wrong again. A man had failed once. It might be best to take no chances this second time, with the weak mortal human vessel that had proved itself so unreliable throughout history. But God chose to enter the human form himself and work the salvation and reconciliation of the universe through the mortal instrument of that phenomenal thing he had given only to the human creature in all the universe, free will. He would accomplish salvation through sonship, obedient sonship. A sonship won by the self-willed abandonment of independent rule. All creation hung in the balance when Satan came to Jesus, because Jesus could have succumbed to the temptation. They were real temptations. What if he had given in as had the first Adam? Jesus went out into the desert a man, a human, a mortal. And he came back a true son. Self-will relinquished. His manhood subserved to the Father. A child again. The curse of the first Adam had begun to be broken by the obedience of the second Adam. But it was no automatic sonship. It was a sonship of obedient choice, hard won by a free will, wearing the mortal clothes of humanity. Jesus brought out no tricks to lessen the battle over self-rule, to make the temptations easier, to make him a little more God and a little less man. He had to win through that battle as a man. And he went all the way to the cross, having to fight that internal battle, knowing that he could give in at any time. He himself said that he didn't have to die, that he could call down 12 legions of angels to deliver him. But he fought that battle for us, so that we too could become sons and daughters, so that we too could pray the prayer, "Not my will, but yours be done." An angel could have told us to pray that prayer, but when we see Jesus pray it, in all the human agony of knowing a terrible death awaited him, what can we do but fall on our knees and pray it with him? And when Jesus cried, "It is finished," what a triumphant cry it was. He had lived out his obedient human sonship to the end. The curse of sin was broken indeed. From Jesus, an Obedient Son, by Michael Phillips. Read by Michael Kimball. More information on this and similar writings may be found at fatheroftheinklings.com. Visit Amazon to purchase Jesus, an Obedient Son, and other books by Michael Phillips.